Welcome back to Up to the Miners. I'm your host, Connor Ramsden, and with me, as always, he's the Panama to my pursuit of happiness. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
I don't get the reference.
Yeah, I actually did not think you would, but Saturday night, Leafs home game, the Leafs goal song was the song Panama. Don't know who that's
by. Oh, Panama.
Yeah, exactly. Van Halen.
That's funny. So with the goal song, I have not, before it was like a thing where it was like,
what are they going to do?
No, not even that. But like when the Hall & Oates like yes. song would come on, it was always like kind of cutesy and you like, there was no interpreting it. But yeah. Nowadays when the goal song goes off, I just, for some reason, there's a tune out in my head where like, I don't even know what they're playing. I'm talking, I'm listening to the broad, like, you know, I didn't even notice that. I know they changed it up with, what was the Pursuit of Happiness?
Pursuit of Happiness.
Panama, I guess now. And
so like they picked Pursuit of Happiness and then they unpicked Pursuit of Happiness because people got mad. I'm not
so
really
stupid.
Sure why.
So stupid. So stupid.
I think they said like it encourages drunk driving, which I mean, I'm definitely not going to listen to that song and be like, well, Kid Cudi says he drives drunk, so he seems like he makes great decisions.
Well, honestly, if that's the bar for songs.
I didn't think it was a very good goal song, to be honest. I think it's a good song, but yeah, I think the problem with it is that a goal song should be like instantly recognizable, which is why the Hall & Oates song worked. The second it started, like you knew exactly what it was and what had just happened, and like it makes perfect sense. Panama kind of works a little bit better in that sort of way, although I still think they can probably do better. But I just think it's weird that like they made a whole thing about picking what their new goal song was going to be, then immediately backtracked, and then they've just been playing random songs after goals for the whole year. They haven't had a goal song.
Again, that's something that like a fan base would like focus in on. But as somebody who as also a big Leafs fan that does not, I don't really notice it at this point. Because it's not the Hall & Oates song. It's not the, like, it's just become noise at this point.
Which, and like, I mean, that's how it always was. Like I don't remember any Leafs goal song before Hall & Oates. Had them, but I don't actually remember what any of them were.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. Like, you don't, like, people, even casual fans knew it was the Hall & Oates song, and it became a topic of conversation once they decided to change it. And now it's become a conversation with some people who can actually hear the song at people who go to the game, which will be us on the 27th.
That's right.
It doesn't create too much emotion for me because as somebody who's watching the TV, I don't tune into it as clearly because a lot of times it's just loud noise.
Yeah.
And I will say those broadcast people, they talk over it.
They do.
They talk over it while they're, I'm sure in the stadium, it probably is. You're like, oh, that's this song or that's this song. But on the TV, I hear Gord Miller or fucking whoever talking over and breaking down the goal. And I enjoy that a little more because I'm watching the broadcast.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I don't think it's something that you have to have, really. I think it's kind of fun when you have one, the way that we had one for a while. But it's also not something you can force. I think they've now just realized you can't have a song that clicked and worked perfectly for a long time and then just say, oh, here's the new one. And everyone's going to be like, oh, okay. And just kind of go with it.
No. Exactly. It's, I'm sure that, well, the beautiful thing, Ramsden, is we are living in a world where the most music exists right now.
Yeah.
And guess what? The most music will exist tomorrow.
Yep.
So you have so much choice and you could spend 82 games figuring it out until you hit one.
Yeah, this is a good take. You could also do what the Sabres do, which is everybody gets their own personal.
I do like that song. Sometimes. I do like that. Yeah.
I also like the thing I like most about it, the way that they do that actually is when they put out the list at the beginning of the season.
Oh, the season, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, here's what they all picked. And some of them are basic, and then some of them, like, Jeff Skinner picked a song from High School Musical. And You got some weird ones.
Well, I'm sure. But I will say this. I'm sure, like, it, yeah, it's funny at the moment. You're like, I'm going to pick this song that, but like, you are trying to elicit a reaction.
Yeah.
So, like, if you pick some, you know, I'm trying to think of the slowest song, like, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. Like, like if that's your choice as a bit,
yeah,
right? Like, if that's the bit, it's funny until you score a goal and the atmosphere has been brought way down.
Yeah, it's also funnier, like, I feel like it would, I feel like what Jeff Skinner did, picking, like, the High School Musical song or whatever, would be funnier if he didn't score as many goals.
Exactly.
I think that's funny if you score like 2 goals a year. If you score 40 goals, like by the end of the year, people are going to be like, really, dude, like this, the joke, it overstayed its welcome.
It's funny twice.
Exactly. Which if you are like some defenseman who scores 2 goals a year, maybe go for the bit.
If Ryan Reeves
100%
picked
right?
a funny song.
Yeah.
Sure.
All in, right?
Sure.
Absolutely. If Austin Matthews picked a funny song, not as funny.
No.
Yeah. Wow. I really did not think we were going to spend that much time on the goal song. Let's move on to some of the games this team actually played. So let's start with Florida.
Give it to me.
Let's start Florida. With Florida. A 2-1 shootout loss that became a 2-1 shootout win.
I mean, I know this was probably now a week ago.
Yep.
But never seen it before.
That was pretty interesting, I got to say. I didn't get to watch it till afterwards, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was very weird. That looks like it was probably a very weird situation live where, you know, you don't know what's going on. Well, I also had a weird moment. I will tell you this. I finished my game right when the Leaf game was finishing. So I went back into the room and I took out my phone to see if the Leafs won. And it said that they lost 2-1.
Yeah.
And then I was on the score app. And you know how like when you view it with all the other scores, it said Florida 2, Leafs 1. I was like, shit. And then I opened it and it said Leafs 2, Florida 1.
Right.
And I was like, did they win? Now I'm just confused.
I think there is a lot of those similar stories from Leafs fans. I got one from a buddy of mine who said that they lost. He shut the TV off, went straight to bed.
Yeah.
Woke up the next morning and saw that the score had changed and they won.
It had to happen to someone, right?
Yes. And I, as somebody who was watching the game live, was about to turn the TV off. And my fiance was like, I think something's going on. And I was like, yeah, it's over. And then I started looking up and I was like, oh my God, they're reviewing it. I will be honest. Okay, so the game was like Wool played great. Wool was a star that game.
It looked like he kind of got them the 2 points. I was going to say the 1 point.
But. No, he got them the 2 points. Well, the refs got them. Well, Rodriguez got them the 2 points. Wool was a star in that game. I think they were both playing it a little safer than they should have been.
Yeah.
Like once it was 1-1, it was pretty steady on in like just playing it safe and trying to get the 1 point out of it.
Yeah.
Overtime was pretty exciting, but to get to the shootout goal or non-goal, the first replay, I didn't see anything wrong with it.
I also did not notice, to be completely honest.
I didn't see anything wrong with it.
I think after I watched it several times, I was kind of like, oh, I guess I see what they were talking
they
about.
They have, yes,
like
exactly.
The little, but I did have to watch it. I had to watch it a bunch of times.
So, and I will say this, it might be a trick, like not the Mandela effect. What's the thing? Is that the Mandela effect where like somebody says something and they're like, oh, you can't double tap the puck. But I,
yeah. I get what you're saying.
I watched Rodriguez blade and he didn't double. He didn't like,
he did not like, double tap it.
He shot it.
Yeah.
It bounced back onto his stick and bounced in. The stick at no point moved, which made me think I was going crazy.
Yeah, he didn't know, so he didn't shoot the puck. It just hit his stick again. But exactly. That is technically a rebound goal.
They got the call right. But as a guy who's, and again, they had to show a lot of angles before I understood what was happening. Because the first angle, you're like, dude, he just scored. Like, I don't like, that's what are we goal. Doing?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What are we doing?
You know, it was very weird. It was also I know that that's the right call and whatever, and it is. But if the Leafs had lost that game and then someone had posted the video of that online later and said, oh, the Leafs shouldn't have lost because this was a rebound, I would have been like, shut up, nerd. Like, they lost. That's a goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I honestly wouldn't really have cared. I think that, like, if they had counted that, I would have been fine with it. I'm glad they didn't, and the Leafs won. That was cool.
No, and it's...
Although
I
guess they wouldn't have lost either, because Gregor scored. So it just... Right? Or no?
That was game-winning. That was game-winning.
Right.
Because then it was Gregor who scored, and then they missed.
Right.
Everybody was like... I forget what I was watching. Like, some highlight show, and they're like, whoa, with the save... The guy missed. I don't know who. I forget who shot. He totally missed.
Or Nick Cousins. Yeah.
I think he hit the post, which was still like a miss.
He didn't save it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But Wool had a great game. No, I think you're right. I think this was such a minute detail in the rule.
Yeah.
Of the double tap, because the double tap is for when the guy comes in. And the goalie saves it, and the guy just whacks it in the net. And, like, that's – like, you know in the NHL when you do a shootout and you miss?
Yeah.
And then you
and
whack
you shoot
it
the rebound in.
Yeah, and you're – and obviously the game doesn't count, and you're like, that's what I picture a double tap.
Yeah.
But this was so, again, so minute that I think you're right. I think a lot of people would have – the next day would have been like, that doesn't matter, man. Like, that was it bounced in and out, but it didn't really – like, the distance between – Wool's pad and Rodriguez's stick was so minimal that it didn't even look like it came off. It just looked like it went straight in.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many arguments for Florida to have for this to count, but like,
I think they got really unlucky, really. Is all Florida? It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just bad luck. Like, that's all it is. And that sucks for them. I honestly, who cares? It's a shootout in November. We won't even remember this happened in like a month, but.
Well, I mean, you know, you see the classic argument, people being like, what if they lose? What if the Florida Panthers are out of the playoffs by 1 point? Or what if
they won't be.
What if the Leafs make it by 1 point? And exactly. Yeah. These are not teams that are not scrapping for that last point.
They're both going to make the playoffs. It's not going to be a problem. No. They're both getting in. Who cares? Move on. It was weird. And also, they got the call right, so you also can't even get mad at them, really, if that happens.
Well, that's the other thing, is, like, they didn't blow it.
No.
They didn't, like...
That was correct.
They didn't blow,
like,
the call.
It's, like, weird, but it's right.
It's an odd one.
Yeah.
And, right, like, once they started reviewing it, I was like, oh, I guess I'm missing something, and then I saw the replay, I'm like, I'm not missing anything. I think they're just doing this for fun. And then 55 angles later... And it was you know what's funny is your scenario of checking the score, it was a pretty long review.
Yeah, it might have been during the review, yeah.
As somebody who watched it live, it was like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And they, like, that's for somebody...
some weird ones.
Yeah, and for, like, you're like, I called it. I was like, it's over, I'm turning off the PlayStation, I'm going to bed. It was 3 minutes of, like, I guess I see it. Oh, yeah, like, from that angle, I don't know, maybe. Like, and then they were like, nope, run it back. Because, like, Wool had already left the ice.
That's what I heard. I heard he took his gear off and left.
Yeah, Wool was like, fuck it. Which, if you're him, you probably didn't even feel that bounce.
He didn't
back.
Even notice. Yeah.
Wool played great. So I was glad he got the win as he deserved.
Good for him.
And Gregor. Oh, baby. Two goals.
Yeah, two goals.
That goal, that first goal, well, the one goal that he scored, the other one's a shootout goal, but that first goal, snipe. Unbelievable snipe.
Yeah. He has a great shot. He has a really good shot for I the only thing I think with Gregor is I wish he would shoot closer to the net. He likes to do this thing where he comes in on a rush and like he has open ice in front of him, and then instead of skating like into the slot and then shooting, he just shoots from like a mile away, which sometimes it goes in because he can shoot like surprisingly well. But I mean, how many more goals would you get if you actually just skated the puck closer to the net before you?
No, I agree. If he does the Nylander thing where he just like slides in and tucks it or or roofs it, he does take the shot outside. But I mean, it's worked.
Got a good shot.
I mean, that, like who like obviously, but like you didn't watch the game. But during the shootout, who the fuck would have picked Gregor to go fourth?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I think he went fifth, but
or fifth. Sorry,
But still, it was that's still a lot.
It was Nylander,
Matthews,
Marner, Domi. Marner
did one. Domi, and Robertson, then, Gregor. Robertson.
Oh, God, I didn't even watch the game. well, that's the other thing, is two shootout games in a row. I mean, we can talk that's about the Seattle game.
And we will.
Two shootout games in a row, it just felt like a lot.
Yeah, that is long hockey games. Like, I mean, the Leafs, and then overtime on the weekend. I mean, all of these games actually went longer than three periods. It seems like the Leafs right now, no matter how good they are or how good the team they're playing against is, whether they're one of the best teams in the league like Florida or one of the worst teams in the league like Seattle, or, you know, or if they're the Boston Bruins, the Leaf game is going to be close.
I mean, it just seems inevitable, but like part of me goes like they have comeback wins.
Yeah.
And then they also have like comeback losses in the sense where like they're up 3-1 and it just becomes a trickle effect. Like they can, it doesn't seem like they can hold a lead or keep a lead or once they tie it, they can't finish it.
Yeah.
Until overtime or the shootout.
It is weird. And I have no idea what that means. Like long term, but it's definitely extremely strange. I've never seen anything like this. I will say though, like it's good for your chances of making the playoffs.
I thought you were going to say my heart because it's not good for my heart. it's really not good
for your heart. But I mean, like even the games where the Leafs play like shit and lose, they still end up with 1 point somehow.
Yeah, that's true.
Although some of these games the Leafs actually play well, they still end up with 1 point.
1 point. No, I know.
But that's better than zero.
Well, because I do the classic thing where the first 10 games you're never checking the standings.
Yeah, of course.
Once you hit 20 games,
yeah, you have a peak.
You're like, let me check in.
Checking seriously, but you are.
No. The serious check ins are for the last 2 months of the season, where you're like, you start to see the playoff picture and you're like, oh, if this team moves up, it's fun to see the wild.
Except for like last year where you're just like, oh, we're playing Tampa. Okay. For 3 months.
but then you check for other teams.
Yeah.
Like that. I agree. For the Leafs, you're like, fuck it. It's done. It's because it was done. But that was done in January, which is still weird to think about because they were like, it's going to happen. And this year, I don't think.
I have no idea.
No, I don't think it's set.
No, it's not.
So 2 months left in the season, you're checking it every day. You're like, oh, who won this? Who won tonight? Let me see who's in the playoff race. Let me see who got out. So, I still peaked the standings 20 games in. And, I mean, the points are there.
Yeah.
The points are there. Like, I understand they're not regulation wins and they're not even wins.
Yeah.
But an overtime loss or a shootout loss is a point. And you'll take that.
The Leafs have, I think, so they were saying on Thursday, I remember from the broadcast, at some point during the Thursday game against Seattle, I think it was after that game went to overtime, they put up a stat that said the Leafs have gone to overtime or a shootout in 50% of their games this season, which I guess now they're over half because they did it the next game too.
A shootout or overtime?
Overtime
or a shootout. Yeah. Okay, got it, sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, over half their games this year.
And that's a great question from you to ask, like, what does it mean?
Yeah.
Like,
as
for like,
what do I take from it?
Yeah. What do I take from that? Cause it's, is it becomes close, but for the most part, it's either we're leading or they're leading, and it becomes tied. It's like 3-1 or, you know, like,
yeah, it's someone never, blows it.
Like the Florida game was one and then one, but it was 1-0 for a long time for Florida. It took Gregor a minute to get that goal.
Yeah, that's true. So the Leafs have not won a game by more than one goal since they beat Vancouver on November 11. The Leafs have not lost a game by more than one goal since they lost to Ottawa on November the 8th.
So something happened in November.
I don't know what, but since then, every single game, win or lose, has been one goal. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them have gone to overtime.
I mean, how do you, like, what do you, it's what crazy. Do you take from that? What do you fucking take from that? I don't understand.
I have no idea.
This team.
It makes no sense. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue not understanding this team while we talk about another shootout game Thursday.
Exactly. Yeah. Like.
And we're back. And I guess we can talk about the Seattle game, but I feel like we're still going to be just as confused.
Oh, well, okay. That's a funny, that's true, because we did talk a little bit before we got back on air, but like, yes, we are back in the confused state. It's not helping. That game did not help our perception. And if we want to jump ahead a little bit, the Boston game didn't help our perception of this.
No.
We are, Ramsey, how many games are we in? 20,
something 21, like that. I don't know.
22.
Something like that.
We're in 20 games tops.
22 games.
22 games. Perfect. There you go. I thought so. So 22 games. We're in 22 games. You brought up the stat. Our last win more than one goal and our last loss more than one goal was early November. Yeah. Early November. A month ago, which is excessive.
Yeah.
And it's pretty crazy. It does not help for, you know, like there are all these, and we don't pretend to be analysts. We don't pretend to be people who really know what's going on with the team. We see, we gather information from everybody else and we throw it onto the fucking podcast.
Exactly.
And you know, we'll develop our own very good opinions, which we do all the time because we're geniuses. But it's so odd going into this month and trying to decipher what this team is, because there is no logic there. There is no. You like, okay, Ramston. So breaking it down, defense problem.
Yep. Not good.
Offense.
Okay.
I mean, okay.
I would say strange,
strange, spotty at best.
Yeah.
And goaltending. I mean,
hit and miss.
Exactly. Hit and miss. Perfect way to put it. Wool has been good, but yep. He's also, I've seen a stinker.
Had bad games.
Samsonov, bad.
Yep.
Had a good game or two.
Yep.
So it's frustrating as just like a fan watching these games and trying to figure out what's going to happen for the rest of the season, because it, like, everybody's like, oh, they could keep going on this one goal train for the rest of the season. That's not going to happen. I
don't think so.
Something's got to give.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's going to be, because some people pointed out that Matthews and Marner were struggling. Well, yeah. Guess what? The second the broadcast put out the stat of Marner struggling, 3 goals in a game.
Yeah.
And the shootout winner to boot. Yep.
Won the game basically by himself.
By himself. It was 4-3. He put 4 goals in the net.
Yeah. It's like that it's a soccer joke from like online, but there's that picture that guy posted, I guess, after one of his games, and it's like 1-4-3, scored all four. Yeah. And people were posting it after the Marner
exactly.
Game because 1-4-3, scored all four.
Yes. If you 1-4-3 and you scored the shootout winner, that's it. I understand the stats won't say you scored 4 goals.
Yeah. this was a super weird game. I really don't know what to make of it. They completely dominated for like half of it and then sucked for half of it and then won. Marner scored three goals with a visor on and a like bunch of stitches in his face and looked unbelievable.
That's the big conversation was like the Marner bubble game.
We got Jared McCann, which was
Jared McCann's two expected. Goals. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Matthews with a sick shootout goal.
Yeah.
Between the five hole.
Which seems like it's his new thing in the shootout.
Obviously, because, yeah, Boston. Yeah. Not Boston. Sorry. He did that.
Florida.
He did that the night before. Or the couple days before. I will say this. My lady made a good point about the bubble. It's interesting that if everybody wears the bubble, there is no 4 minute for bleeding.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
So, the debate we had was, would that eliminate the penalty? Or would, if they eliminated the penalty for bleeding, would that make more people wear visors?
No, like people wear visors because it's hard to see with the bubble on.
Marner did quite well.
I know, but even though it's like clear plastic, it is harder to see. It's harder to hear too.
That's what
it just kind of makes it more difficult. So like, and it's kind of uncomfortable too. Like you're breathing into that thing instead of like breathing out. It's just it's uncomfortable.
Well, we all had it with the COVID masks.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I never brushed my teeth more than once COVID hit. You're breathing in your own fucking germs. You realize you have halitosis or whatever your breath stanky is going on.
It's gross. Yeah, they're just not fun. They're just not fun or comfortable to wear. I'm saying guys won't wear it because of that. So then you'll never get rid of the
2 minute for bleeding.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. And it does. I mean, they showed it on the broadcast. He's trying to get the mouth guard out of his mouth and just stuff like that. I'm like, I mean, you know, anybody that's like, why don't they all wear it? I mean, look at what's going on here. That's enough evidence to not want to wear it.
Yeah. It's definitely not comfortable. And like, if you play hockey for like a living and you're making millions of dollars and they give you free dental, then you might as well.
Well, and I mean,
they're going to set you up with a whole new row of teeth after you retire. So,
yeah. And I mean, those guys, they're like the domies with the no teeth in the front, the Bertuzzi's, you're like, yeah, obviously you're not going to get it fixed because there's a good chance it's going to break again. Wait till you retire.
Yep.
I guess I'm not trying to be that guy, but as somebody who like has a fiance and, you know, like I could see like his girl being like, hey, like this might, like you should, like you gotta be more careful.
Yeah.
Cause you know,
shit happens, you know,
shit happens. It's not to the level of what's the guy's name who got his throat slashed. Adam Johnson. It's not that level, but like, I mean, a puck to the face cannot feel good. And obviously from an outside perspective, if you're a loved one of that guy who just got a puck smoked to his face, you're worried.
Yeah.
But I mean, these guys take the risk and they make millions of dollars.
Yep. That's how it works. Unfortunately, it's too bad that that's how that works, but it is. I mean, that's part of pro sports, right? Is that you risk your own health as part of it.
Well, that's the other thing is everybody's like, oh, like what if you get a puck to your face and your eye goes black? And it's like, yeah, but like think about the long term, like soccer players, like their knees give out.
Yep.
Football players, they're like
Antonio. Football players, the worst.
Antonio Brown is all over Instagram over Twitter.
Yeah.
Like if it's stuff like that, you're like,
you tell me that dude's brain's working properly.
And that's not even like he wasn't wearing the protective equipment or. Yeah. There's no visible crazy scar that he got. Like, it's just the game.
Yeah, there's Luis Suarez was talking today. I saw he did an interview where he said, like, in order to keep playing,
what do you mean? Suarez?
Yeah, he has to have like these injections and stuff into his legs because he says like they don't work. And so he says like every day when he gets up, he can't walk. And he said, like, if my son asked me to play with him, I have to say no.
I believe
like, because my legs don't work. He's like, but if I take a whole week between games, by the end of the week, I can play. And so he's like, so I did. But it's even sports like that. That's just sadly how it.
Everybody. And obviously, this might be me getting a little defensive here, but everybody likes to pretend soccer is the most ease, like not like less least physical sport. You are running for 90 minutes and you are, you know, you're on your feet, you're jogging, you're pushing yourself, you're extending those legs. Like, and you're, there's a good chance you're going to pull a groin. You're getting tackled, you're getting pushed around. I understand people consider it a soft sport. It's no soft sport, man. Like those injuries are real.
I used to have a hard time getting up after playing full 90 minute soccer games. And then I would like sit in the car. And you would drive home. And then when the car would stop, I actually wouldn't be able to get out. My legs wouldn't work. If it was like a 30 minute, if I was driving somewhere 30 minutes, I couldn't like move.
No.
It's tough. That's unfortunately, that's just part of it. I'm glad Mitch Marner's okay. And
yes. That's part of the sport. That's part
playing
of the
a lot better. That shootout goal. I mean, actually, a lot of these goals were pretty nice. He really did have a great game. But that shootout goal was insane. The way that he can skate is... I mean, it's incredible.
The pivots. No.
It's like him and Cale Makar, and there's probably like five people in the world who can do that, and he's one of them.
I mean, there's been a lot of talk about him not playing with Matthews anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, for a while there, before the Boston game, a lot of the arguments were that, oh, it slowed Matthews down.
Yeah.
But it hasn't slowed Marner down.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Yeah.
So like that's one of the things people were saying was like, oh, like Matthews isn't producing because Marner hasn't been on his line, and then you know, you can't say the same thing about Marner. Three goals in a game, shootout winner, no problem.
Although Matthews had quite the night against Boston. So
exactly. So yeah. I think these guys, I mean, when Babcock was coach, he didn't really play them together, and they still had pretty good seasons.
Yep.
So I don't know. I think
they don't need each other. Yeah.
They don't thank you. They don't need each other.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Like,
but they're fine without. Yeah. And last time Marner played with Tavares scored 47 goals. So
yes.
It's not like that doesn't work. You know what I mean?
No.
So yeah, I'm with you on that one.
And I understand if you're Keefe, you go, Nylander is the hottest player on the team.
Yep.
Matthews is our cornerstone for the next 4 years.
Yep.
Why not try to get Nylander's mojo. But you know what I'm saying? Like just try to get it going because he's the best player on the team.
I agree.
And you want Matthews to be the best. Like, ideally, Matthews is the best player on the team.
Yeah, the Leafs are better when Matthews is playing at his best than they are if any other player on the Leafs is playing
ideally,
their best.
Ideally, Wool is the best team. But you know what I mean.
I guess
you
that's true.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, it totally makes sense coaching-wise. And I think we have gotten past the point where like they need each other.
Yeah.
Nylander is a great player. Matthews is a great player. They'll click somehow. You see it a little bit with Marner. He's like, you're right. The skating is one of the best skaters we've ever seen on the Leafs. So he can produce with anyone. I think he's just used to the way Matthews is placed. So I think it's going to take a while. But guess what? It looks like the player, like they're getting them the puck to score the goals.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to be the assist guy if the other guys can do it. Tavares is a great. He can set plays up, man. He will.
Yeah, fight. He can do everything.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, I like it. I've enjoyed it for the last two games. I think that has kind of, it seems like it's woken both of them up a little bit, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shootout goal was special. I mean, was it Grubauer? Poor Grubauer.
It was Grubauer, yeah.
He got done twice by Mitch Marner on breakaways. Both times he looked bad. It's just like you got to feel for him.
I will say this. He looked really good during the rest of the game.
He did. He did. He did. The only goal actually, because, I mean, the Marner one that went top corner on the one-timer, that's a hard save. The breakaway, hard save. The shootout, I mean, he got scored on by Matthews and Marner in a shootout. Can't blame him for that. The only one I could kind of blame him is the first goal, because like I genuinely still don't understand what he was doing. He was like 30 feet out of the net.
No, I get that. But I mean,
he was very good.
He was tight. He was solid. I watched that game pretty intently, and I was impressed with his game.
Especially given like he's not had the best seasons recently.
Well, I think
last year he was really good against Colorado in the playoffs. But other than that.
No, he's got some, like, for Seattle, he's been kind of meh.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
The one Philip Grubauer story I have, I think I've told this on the podcast before, is my one buddy.
Talked to him, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, DM'd him. So he seems like a nice guy. He seems like he's willing to talk to the people.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean he's a good goalie. And he's German, so there's already something wrong with him.
That's true. So let's talk about the Saturday game. Boston-Toronto. It was a good game. It's a good hockey game.
I mean,
I really enjoyed it, actually. Not so much the end, but the rest of it.
It was, again, it's pretty back and forth. Boston went up early. Pastrnak looked great. That guy,
he's fantastic.
Good for him. Good for Boston. I mean,
yeah. I know they really needed some luck after all these years of struggling with mediocre players.
That's really what it is.
Yeah, he's Reeves fantastic.
Reeves looked terrible.
Oh my god! Yeah, holy shit! I mean, we can talk about that a little bit, because I thought it was incredibly funny how they like made a whole thing before the game about Reeves and Marchand, and like Ryan Reeves gave some interview about like how they were talking during games or whatever, and I was like, okay, instead of talking to him, maybe you should punch him, or maybe you should just shut the fuck up and not play. I'm cool with either one.
I missed. Was that in the pregame?
It was earlier on in the week. I don't think it was in the pregame.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't see that. But I will say, like, the second he had that boarding call.
Yeah. You knew he was never going to play again.
I was like, that's it.
I thought the same thing. I was like, Keith is going to staple his ass to the bench for the entire rest of the game. If you're a fourth liner, especially like a bad fourth liner, the only way that you can get ice time is to do nothing stupid at all. And even then, you'll probably still get benched at the end of the game. But like, you can avoid it at least a little bit if you do nothing dumb. If you take a boarding penalty 200 feet from your own net, you will never play again.
I saw it. I told you I had a couple buddies over. I go, that's boarding. And then I think it went right to commercial break.
Yeah.
And then it showed them. I was like, and they're like, oh, you were right. I'm like, yeah. And you're not going to see him again.
Yep.
It's over. Yep. Like, what kind of fucking lunatic takes a boarding call? And you're right. So like, not even in your own end.
No, on the other team's end.
Like, what do you do? 200
feet from your own net for no reason. He had already passed the puck. Let's think about that too. Think about how late he was.
That's the thing.
Like, the puck was long gone. He was way behind the play.
And it was like the rookie.
It was the rookie.
Rookie center. So like, you're not even like making an impact on
not Brad Marchand.
Exactly. Yeah. If it was Marchand, I think he might have gotten some leeway in the sense where like Keith might have been like, I get why you hit him.
Yep. 100%.
You hit a kid that had nothing to do with anything. Yeah. You just decided, I'm going to slam this kid into the fucking boards, numbers first, which is exactly like, literally, I saw the hit. I go, he hit his numbers.
Yep.
It's a boarding call. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's just such a stupid move.
It really was. And I'm not surprised he didn't play again the whole rest of the game. They didn't score on the power play, at least, but that, you know.
No. I will. Yeah, that's fair.
But that had nothing to do with him, obviously.
No.
It was so stupid. You know what was kind of nice, though, I will say, is when the Leafs went down 2-0, I didn't have that thought like, oh, they're definitely not going to win. I was kind of like, eh, we're only halfway through the game, which is good. Sometimes, like, there's some teams and some games where your team goes down 2-0 and you're like, fuck, we're not going to win this game. And weirdly, against Boston, I was like, you know what, we're losing 2-0, but I'm actually kind of happy with how the Leafs are playing. They might still win this.
Well, yes, that's kind of the sentiment that we had, was like it was tight.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like they were like even shot wise.
Yeah, they were in it.
We were like, okay, you know, and here's the other thing. As much as we talk about how much of a mind fuck it is that they keep going down and tying it, or up and tying it,
yeah,
it you kind of feel like they're going to cheat for offense.
Yeah.
They're going to, like, this is their MO. They're going to cheat for a little bit of offense. They're going to go down by 2 goals against Boston. I think they'll at least get one back, which makes it an exciting game.
Yeah.
And then like that's the, I mean, is that not the crazy beauty of this team, where you're like, oh, they've gone down 3-1 before and just come back because all they did was put Matthews and the Matthews Tavares line out there and just trying to get goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck defense.
Yep.
We don't need defense if we have the puck in their zone the whole time.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting looking at the ice time stuff, because the fact that the Leafs play so many close games means that, you know, obviously Reeves never plays, right, in any kind of close game, because, you know, obviously how could you play him in the third period?
Throwing, yeah.
But it is funny, because in the third period, if the Leafs are winning, you see a lot of Kampf and Gregor and whoever the other guy is. It's not Reeves, but they'll sub someone else in, or it's McMahon. And if they're down, they play the Domi, Robertson, Yarncroc line a lot to try and chase goals. But both of those lines get really heavily benched if it's the other way, which is kind of funny.
Course.
Like, you don't see Nick Robertson for the entire third period if the Leafs are ahead. And you don't see David Kampf much if they're behind. You know what I mean?
Right.
Same with Domi and Gregor. Like, they'll just disappear, because Keith is just like, well, you can only play in one end, so why would I bother?
No, it's true. It's which, I mean, might just be smart coaching.
It is good coaching. That's what I'm saying.
Right?
But it is just funny to look at. It's what he should be doing, to be honest.
Yeah, but that's true.
I think that's part of why the bottom six, I don't even want to say works, but works a lot better than it did earlier on in the year. Because instead of trying to find lines that work all the time, he's just settled on an offensive line and a defensive line and plays them accordingly.
And that's a good point. And I think that's just good coaching.
Yeah. I mean, we saw in this game, Max Domi finally got his first goal.
Nice setup by Robertson.
Great pass from Robertson. That's what I was going to say. Really great pass. And this line, the Leafs don't really play off the rush a ton. One of their lines has David Kampf on it. He has no offense. And it also sometimes has Ryan Reeves on it, who can't skate. And then Matthews and Tavares, both of those lines like to play in the zone with the puck. But this Domi, Yarncroc, Robertson line is all rush chances. It's really interesting, because they play completely differently to everyone else on the entire team.
Well, it's speed, because Robertson, I mean, that guy's fucking, he's electric.
Yeah, and Domi, too, is fast.
And Yarncroak's not slow either, I will say that.
Yeah.
I mean, Gregor is definitely the fastest player on that team.
I think so, too, yeah. Well, Riley, probably, actually, but yeah.
Riley, yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
No, it's a great third line.
Yeah.
I just understand why they're not out there that often.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. Because, I mean, they can't play defense at all.
They're terrible
in their own zone. If they get hemmed in their own zone, it's just kind of a waste of a shift, because they're never getting out.
No, because, I mean, like, no, they're like,
they actually can't really play in any zone with any kind of control.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. Robertson and Domi are great in the neutral zone, just like get it into the offensive zone.
Yeah.
On the rush. But like defensively, they're terrible. Yarncroak, I don't mind defense.
Yarncroak is good defensively.
I don't mind him at all.
I don't either. I'm actually very happy he's there a lot of the time. And also, he doesn't disappear in these games that I'm talking about, where the third line disappears. Yarncroc keeps playing. They'll often just start going Camp, Gregor, Yarncroc.
That's a good point, yeah.
Kind of mix it up like that. Like, he doesn't lose shifts because Keefe trusts him, right? It's the guys he doesn't trust are Reeves, Domi, Robertson, basically.
Robertson, yeah. Well, no, but that's the job of the coach, is to just keep switching stuff out until you figure out what you like.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Matthews goal. And actually, I guess the Matthews goals, but that was electric. That got the people going. The reaction in the crowd watching it was it looked insane.
On a Saturday night, they needed this. It helped a lot.
It looked crazy. It looked like that place went completely insane.
I mean, because also everybody, I think, knows that they need to score. Matthews needs a goal because he's been. It's the stat of like five games without a goal.
Yeah. Which isn't really something that happens to Auston Matthews. This season's been weird because he is scoring a lot of goals, but the Auston Matthews thing has always been that he scores like one or two goals almost every game. He's never actually been that guy who scores like three goals, takes a break, three goals, which is what he's doing this year. But he's never scored like that in his entire career. It's always like the classic Auston Matthews two goal game that he has all the time.
I agree. Yeah.
And he had here.
No, it's I checked the stats before we started on goals. Yeah. He's second.
Exactly. He's still up there. But it is weird because it's just not how he does it.
No. No.
Which is fascinating.
And that's, I think we expect 50 this year? Yeah. Am I crazy to say that?
I think that 60 year was special, and if he can do that again at some point, that'll be great. But
no,
I expect 50.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah. 60, we got to admit, was, not one in a million, but special.
Yeah, he might never have a year that good again. He might. I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, he might not. I hope he does, obviously.
I hope he does, too. But it could be that was his best season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, fair.
And he could have a great career and have that still be true. Because if he scores like 55 this year, if he scores like 58 the next year, you know what I mean? And he starts stacking those up, then it won't matter that he never... Ovi only scored 60 once, I think, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to probably break the record at some point. So
yeah, he's at 16 right now, so that's pretty great.
Oh, yeah. It's on pace for something if crazy. Ovi only scored 60 goals one time.
Yeah, but that's fair. But he had like 50 and 56 and 78.
But that's what I'm saying. If Auston Matthews starts having a year like puts a career together like that, we won't even care that it was just the one time. But I think we expect 50. I think it's the right number.
Well, yeah. I mean, 50 is just – especially – he's going to be the highest paid player – next year.
That's 100% true.
Right? So, for that money, as much as people like to give Connor McDavid crap for what's going on in Edmonton, you're like, look,
he's worth it.
Matthews is worth it.
Matthews, but you got to do it, right?
But you got to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, what a game, though. That was a great hockey game. Should we talk about whatever the fuck happened at the end?
that was just a mess.
I just feel bad because, honestly, I was annoyed, and I think everyone was probably annoyed watching it, but you just can't be mad at Willie. You can't. If that was the only game this year that you've watched, you can be mad at him. But if you've been watching this team this whole season, you're like, you know what? If anyone was going to fuck up in overtime, he's actually earned it. Yes.
No. I really don't. Everybody's like, oh, Marchand was so open. You're like, what are you going to do, man?
He fell.
He fell, and Pastrnak biffed it in the sense where he Wool made a great play, and then Pastrnak just who expects
licked it? Oh, yeah,
come on, who expects that? Don't even.
Plus, if you looked at the time on the clock, I think that they thought that they were like, okay, well, he's either going to score this breakaway or the game's going to be over. And then neither of those things happened, and they were like, oh, shit. But I thought when he was coming in on the breakaway, I was like, well, he's either going to score this or the game's going to be over. So, I mean, I can't blame anyone else for thinking the same thing.
No, it's it's that second, it's that little third attempt.
Yes, yeah.
Like, that you weren't really expecting. And I get it's overtime, so there's a lot more ice. But, like, I mean, come on, man. What do you want? Like, I wasn't too upset about it.
It was a real, like, shit happens kind of.
It's shit happens, and the comeback was exciting. 4.8 seconds left. You know, what are you going to do?
And they played really well, which, like, you know, that does buy you some credit.
No, they played well, yeah.
Because I didn't watch this game. I heard they got outplayed pretty badly in the Florida game, but yep, happened to sneak into the overtime or whatever. If they had lost that game in overtime like that, I think it would be a bigger deal to people than if you lose the Bruins game where you actually play a great hockey game.
And, I mean, it's a Saturday night. It's a comeback. You can't, if a team comes back with 4 seconds left, you get leeway. There's leeway, yes, there, because yeah, you've built that rapport, not rapport, leeway or whatever. Yeah. Good faith. Good faith. Yes. That's the word. You've built that good faith of 4 seconds left. You have, like, I had the guys over. It's exciting. Yeah. There is 4 seconds left. This is sports. You can't recreate this. Yeah. It's not television. It's real life. There's 4 seconds left. Austin Matthews, your best player on your team Nylander, your best goal scorer.
Yeah.
Has your best
player,
it,
too. I mean, like, you know, not this year, but in general, he's our best player.
Has tied it. I mean, you can't write this stuff. So no. I that's the goodwill that they built. And I mean, you lose in overtime. I mean, what are you going to do?
And it was Austin Matthews. I mean, that's probably, he's had 2 hat tricks, but that was probably like his best game, I would say. It's definitely his best game in a long time.
Yeah.
He looked, I would say, great.
I will also say, I think it doesn't help that it was Marchand.
That does not help.
That, you know, if it's a fourth liner or whatever, like, it doesn't.
Or even if it was like, I mean, it actually could have been anyone else. I don't know who the other guy on the ice was, but if whoever the other.
Well, if it was Pastrnak, I think people would have been like, God damn it, he got a hat.
No. I mean, like, when Pastrnak flipped it over the net, if whoever the other Bruin was scored I think people would have been like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. It was like Brandon Carlo or whoever. You'd be like, yeah, whatever. I don't care.
No. Yeah, I agree. It's, I don't know. I just think, they played a great game. And I mean, again, Saturday night, 4 seconds left. Come on. You can't beat that. It was encouraging. And hopefully their next game isn't until Thursday, right?
Crazy. Yeah.
Which is so weird to me because I'm used to the when they were in Sweden, I was used to the break.
Yeah,
the break was.
You're expecting Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, right?
Well, I thought when you were, I was expecting a game tomorrow, or at least Wednesday.
Yeah,
but turns out it's only Thursday. So,
yep.
Saturday we play Nashville.
Well, what are we gonna watch at the Christmas party?
The Leaf game against Nashville.
Oh, man, the Christmas party
is going to be great, and we're going to watch the Leafs play Nashville.
All right, well, should we wrap this one up? You want to sing a
song? Yeah, we can wrap it up. It's Up to the Miners podcast. I can't figure this theme out.